After our spiritual meal, we are now gathered in this hall to continue with the sixth session of our conference, which is dedicated to Saint Joseph the Hesychast. Our first speaker is His Eminence Joel, Metropolitan of Edessa, Pella, and Almopia. Your Eminence, very Reverend Fathers, Holy Abbots, and beloved brothers in Christ. Before I begin this brief presentation, I would like to thank the presiding Metropolitan, His Eminence Athanasios, Metropolitan of Limassol. We also thank our revered Elder Father Ephraim. They were kind enough to invite me once again to this wonderful conference, first held in Athens. The subject they asked me to address is a simple one. It requires neither scholarly expertise nor extensive research. The published works and books clearly provide abundant material for the subject I have undertaken, the person of the Most Holy Theotokos in the life and teaching of Saint Joseph the Hesychast. First of all, I would like to tell this assembly of lovers of the saints and the holy fathers that my first encounter with Saint Joseph was at the remote settlement of Provata on the Holy Mountain, specifically at the cell of Saint Artemius. At that time, the brotherhood of Papa Ephraim was living there in hesychastic solitude. He later became the abbot of Philotheo Monastery on Mount Athos. Let me be more precise. It was there when I was a young theology student that I first heard Elder Ephraim speak about Saint Joseph's character and spiritual labors. It was also there during the Divine Liturgy that I was granted the grace on the only occasion in my life to venerate the skull of Saint Joseph the Hesychast. If I remember correctly, it was wrapped at that time in a beautifully lined bag. Today, of course, it must be kept in an ornate reliquary. But as I recall, it was then in a knitted blue bag, if I am not mistaken, which was lined on the inside. During the Divine Liturgy, everyone venerated his skull. I went forward as well together with the abbot of the monastery and the grace-filled young monks of Philotheo, and we venerated it. His holy skull truly gave forth the fragrance of sanctity, bearing witness to his earthly life in God and to the living presence of the Holy Spirit in his sanctified bones and relics, even after death. Here, I must make a brief digression. You will not count it against the time allotted to my presentation because the Metropolitan of Mesogaia is absent and so we have a little extra time. Years later, I became a preacher in the metropolis of Edessa, where I served for 30 years while searching through the monastery of the Holy Trinity, an old little monastery near Edessa. I found three photographs connected with Saint Joseph. We published them in the Pavleios Logos. One even had a dedication written on the back, sent to one of his spiritual daughters, and he had signed it. The deluded Elder Joseph. That is what he wrote beneath it. I also found his walking stick. A sanctified nun named Theodosia had lived there. She was a disciple of Saint Joseph, and the walking stick had been carved by him. Yes, he himself had carved it. You published it? Yes. Unfortunately, there had been other precious keepsakes as well, but because nun Theodosia had died of tuberculosis, the abbess at that time consigned them to the fire and burned them, including all the letters. Otherwise, we might have preserved many valuable letters. And now I shall develop my subject, the presence of the Most Holy Theotokos in the life of this venerable man, Joseph, in the precious garden of Mount Athos. The Lady Theotokos was always the helper and protector of his life and of the lives of those who followed him and entrusted their spiritual progress to his wise guidance. He had a burning love for Our Lady Theotokos. At the mere sound of her name, he would weep with divine longing and most holy love, as Father Ephraim, the abbot of Vatopedi, writes. His grateful disciple Joseph of Vatopedi relates that amid the first difficulties of his arduous spiritual labor, he found a steadfast companion in the nourisher and helper of the monks of Mount Athos, the Gerontissa Theotokos. In particular, he recounts the irrational opposition of the elder at the Hesychasteria of St. Basil, who envied the young Joseph's progress, and the prayer Joseph offered to the Most Holy Theotokos. Saint Joseph himself tells us how he prayed to her. I also turned to Our Lady and implored her. As I stood there looking toward Athos from where I could clearly see the place with the little chapel of Our Most Holy Theotokos, I suddenly felt within myself a stirring of joy. At once I saw a radiant beam come forth from the chapel of the Most Holy Theotokos. Like a rainbow, it came and rested upon me. Immediately I was wholly transformed and forgot myself. I was filled with light in my heart, outside myself, and everywhere, and I could not even feel whether I had a body. Then I began to say the Jesus prayer within myself with such a steady rhythm that I was amazed, because I was making no effort, and yet the Jesus prayer was acting within me. I only saw and heard at the same time, and I marveled. During the first years of his hesychastic life, he frequently visited the small chapel of the Lady Theotokos on the slopes below the summit. the place where this great event had happened to him, and he cultivated the Jesus Prayer with great exactness. We know from the lives of the saints that the great gifts God bestows are matched by great temptations. The saint passes through the furnace of temptations and is purified like gold in a crucible. During the assaults of temptation, the power and grace of God are revealed, but after the temptations have withdrawn, because he is now free from the passions, grace is seen openly and unmistakably blossoming upon him and being imparted to others as well. Saint Joseph could not be exempt from this eternal spiritual rule. He endured the attacks of malicious demons in the form of various temptations, but the worst affliction was the warfare of fornication, that is, impure logismoi and bodily burning. His disciple writes, "Elder Joseph faced this warfare courageously, with the fervor of his zeal, the force of his ascetic resolve, the fire of divine aid, and the holiness of the surroundings with which the holy mountain, uniquely dedicated to the saints, embraces those who dwell there. To emerge victorious from this struggle, he used various means, such as what he called the protective stick." Let me explain what this protective stick was. It arose from a custom they had. When the elder and his brotherhood suffered violent temptations, they kept a piece of wood with which they struck their bodies to cause pain, so that the burning of temptation would subside. He called it the protective stick, the wood that delivered him from various temptations. They also did away with their mattresses, among other things. He himself confesses that, "because the warfare did not abate, I wept, groaned, and implored Our Lady Theotokos, who had comforted me many times, but no solution seemed to present itself." It is also well known that carnal warfare does not subside through bodily assises alone, but through humility and, above all, divine help. It was this help that the blessed elder invoked in particular. He sought the help of the Most Holy Theotokos that he might be delivered from this loathsome temptation. His distinguished disciple and namesake writes that evil spirits appeared to him almost every night and violently assaulted him. But the elder defended himself by invoking Jesus and our Most Holy Theotokos. Listen to how he called upon her. "Our Lady, O Lady, I cried out in anguish. You know, O nurturer of virgins, that I have never had any affection for carnal sin and that, for the sake of attaining knowledge of your Son, I vowed to preserve complete purity insofar as this is humanly possible. Why, then, is there such violence and persistence? Will it overcome my resolve?" Joseph the Hesychast attributed his deliverance from the spirit of fornication to the power of Christ and the action of the grace of the Most Holy Theotokos. As the action of God's grace increases, so do the temptations. Particularly striking is the vision he saw of that heavenly church, where a hymn to the Most Holy Theotokos was being chanted. There in the heavenly church he saw the icon of the Most Holy Theotokos on the iconostasis, holding upon her knees as an infant our pre-eternal Lord. But it is better to let the full account given by Joseph of Vatopedi be heard. "Then my guide motioned for me to approach and venerate, and he turned me toward Our Lady Theotokos, the consolation of all Christians. I did not understand whether or how far I moved while I was facing her and trying to contemplate her glory and majesty. My guide, who appeared to possess great familiarity and boldness before her, spoke to Our Lady in an imploring manner and with a very clear voice, which I remember even now. 'Lady of the world, reveal your glory to your servant so that he may not be overcome by sorrow.' Then what can I, wretched and more unworthy than every other person, say? Her all-holy countenance shone like the sun, and I saw clearly, not as an icon, but living and in her full form, insofar as my mortal nature could bear it, the Lady and Queen of all, holding in her embrace the Savior of the world, our Lord Jesus, full of grace and majesty. As soon as I had beheld something of that divine glory of Our Lady, I could no longer remain standing. I fell to the floor and began to weep, whispering, 'My Lady, my Lady, do not abandon me.' Then I heard her blessed, honey-sweet voice, surpassing every consolation, say to my guide, 'Take him back now to his place, so that he may continue his struggle, and let him place his hope in me.' I felt someone touch me lightly on the shoulder, and when I tried to rise, I found myself back where I had been sitting and praying at the beginning, my face wet with tears. From that moment onward, I felt such love and reverence for Our Lady that the mere sound of her name filled me with spiritual joy. The words, 'Let him place his hope in me,' became my constant consolation from then on." It is also significant that after the name of the Most Holy Theotokos was invoked, water was found at the place of his ascetic struggles, freeing them from the labor of carrying it from far away. After Jesus Christ, the Most Holy Theotokos was the chief occupation of his logismoi and of his handiwork. Being a woodcarver, he made a cross on which our crucified Lord was carved on one side and Our Lady Theotokos on the other. Of exceptional importance is the account given by Elder Joseph of Vatopedi concerning Saint Joseph the Hesychast. Once, during a period of physical suffering and shortness of breath, he found him holding an icon of the Most Holy Theotokos and addressing these words of supplication to her. "See, I am in pain. See, I am in pain. Do not abandon me. I kiss you in your icon. Now as the living lady caress me." Saint Joseph then related that on an earlier occasion, when he was facing some difficulty, the Lady Theotokos had appeared to him holding the Lord and reminded him, "Did I not tell you to place your hope in me? Why are you losing heart? Here, take Christ." She extended her blessed embrace toward me, and the All-Holy Infant drew so near that a human being could reach him. Because of my astonishment, I did not dare make any movement. Then the all-good Jesus extended his little hand and caressed me 3 times on the forehead and head. It was light that he received light. My soul was filled with immeasurable love and light, and I could no longer remain on my feet. I fell down and with longing and tears kissed the place where the Queen of all had stood. Finally, during his last days in this earthly world, he called at length upon our Most Holy Theotokos. His constant disciple writes, "When they wished him a recovery, he told them, 'No, no, I shall be leaving soon. When you hear the bells 3 days from now, know that your friend has departed.'" I reckon it will be on the feast of our Most Holy Theotokos, that is, he expected to depart on the day of her feast. On August 15th, the day of the Dormition of the Theotokos, he received Holy Communion for the last time. He gazed intently at the icon of Our Lady, whom he loved so deeply, as though asking something of her, which she alone knew precisely. His quiet tears bore witness to his soul's innermost supplication to her, to the one who had comforted him so many times and urged him to maintain certain hope in her compassion. Indeed, on that same day he surrendered his holy soul to the Lord and left an excellent example for the whole of the Holy Mountain and for us even to this day. Let us now make a brief reference to Elder Joseph's teaching concerning the Most Holy Theotokos. It is needless to say that the love of the Most Holy Theotokos surpasses all description. He calls her our all-pure mother, the queen and lady of all. The mere remembrance of the Theotokos and the invocation of her name bring tears to the eyes. The moment you say, "My Most Holy Theotokos," you can no longer hold them back. From these tears, a calm comes over the whole body, together with perfect peace. To attain catanixis or compunction, an indispensable condition for prayer, one must recite the hymns of the Theotokos. The reward of those who struggle is that we shall be with our Most Holy Theotokos as her true children. He says the same thing in his 57th letter, emphasizing, "In paradise I shall rejoice together with the Most Holy Theotokos." In his 33rd letter, he describes chastity and purity as virtues that bring joy to the Most Holy Theotokos. "I cannot describe to you how pleasing chastity and purity are to our Most Holy Theotokos, because she alone is the pure virgin. For this reason, she desires and loves all of us who are like this. The moment we call upon her, she hastens immediately to our aid. You have hardly enough time to say, 'Most Holy Theotokos, help me,' and at once, like lightning, she illumines the nous and fills the heart with illumination. She draws the nous into prayer and the heart into love." Likewise, in his 304th letter, on pages 202 and 203, he says that the Most Holy Theotokos loves purity. His teaching remains constant. The Most Holy Theotokos is our steadfast companion and unfailing helper. She is the consolation of every Christian soul. He says the same in his 406th letter. The sweetest queen is the mighty protection of the faithful and the guardian of Christians from every evil and from all enemies, visible and invisible. We are brothers and sisters of our Christ and children of the all-pure Mother. She is the Mother of Mercy, the Fountain of Goodness, our helper who asks no payment, and the physician of our afflictions. He urges us in our tribulations to embrace the icon of the Most Holy Theotokos, so that she may become living to us. She will become our intercessor before God. He also gives the following practical instructions. He says that you must turn to the Most Holy Theotokos, call continually upon his dear mother, read the Akathist hymn, and she will protect you. She will always guard you from every evil. Always keep a small icon of the Most Holy Theotokos close to your heart and venerate it wherever you sit, lie down or go to sleep. The more you love her, the more she will love you. Call upon her in every circumstance, and you will tangibly feel her help and consolation. She always and unceasingly intercedes for all her children who call upon her fervently. The name of the Most Holy Theotokos is sweetest and most beloved. I would like to conclude this brief address with verses written to the Most Holy Theotokos by the Venerable Joseph of Philotheo. He was also a poet. If you seek yet another testimony, then listen to the Sovereign Lady Mary the Theotokos as she says to you, "Whoever comes here for the sake of my name, not neglecting his duties but doing my will, I shall take care to provide for him and defend him in every tribulation and illness. And in heaven I shall prove to be his compassionate, worthy, and mighty intercessor, as no one else can be. For I gave birth to him, carried him, and nursed him, my Lord and God and the Savior of all. Before him stand thrones and dominions, the cherubim, the seraphim, the angelic hosts, and the choirs of martyrs, prophets, apostles, and venerable saints. For I have become queen of all the earth and of the heavenly realms. Therefore, if you are willing, listen and bear your tribulations. Never forsake the cross of my Son, and you shall rejoice eternally in heaven, through the prayers of all the saints together with my own intercessions. Amen." Today I especially wish to thank His Eminence, the Metropolitan of Edessa, who described so eloquently for us Elder Joseph's contribution concerning the Virgin Theotokos. Thank you, Your Eminence.